Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast. Graduation season now is around the corner, so let Job Genius power your job search. Now, Job Genius offers free advice on job searching, resume writing, interviewing, and tips to ace your first day on the job. Just go to expresspros.com/jobgenius today and search Job Genius on YouTube. Now let this educational video series be your guide for entering the workforce. Now, Job Genius is brought to you by our friends at Express Employment Professionals, a leading staffing company that employs more than 500,000 people a year. And when you're ready to start your job search, well, turn to Express Pros. Apply now at expresspros.com for administrative jobs, including customer service and sales and accounting positions, as well as skilled labor jobs like drivers and forklift operators and welders and CNC programmers. Now, each Express Employment Professional office is locally owned and operated. They never charge a job seeker a penny, no fee. And Express Pros takes pride in connecting the right people with the right company. Just go to expresspros.com. I'm glad you're with us. We start with huge breaking news today. A couple of big items. One, the Justice Department now is said to be ready to send the Comey memos to Congress. You know, it always has to get to a crisis point with Devin Nunes's committee or Bob Goodlatte's committee. Remember, Goodlatte's looking for 1.2 million documents that of course, they won't turn over. And remember, Rod Rosenstein was the guy that desperately tried begging and pleading Paul Ryan not to turn over what became the information that resulted in the Nunes memo and the Grassley-Graham memo. Well, I read from the Washington Post, which is a huge headline, also breaking at this hour, the Inspector General, that would be Michael Horowitz, has now referred findings on McCabe to the U.S. Attorney for consideration of criminal charges. So that means the DOJ Inspector General referred their findings that the former FBI Deputy Director, in other words, the second in charge at the FBI, repeatedly misled investigators examining the media disclosures to the top federal prosecutor in D.C., and they want now this attorney, the U.S. Attorney's Office in D.C., now to look at this as a criminal referral. Now, this is on top of everything that we pointed out yesterday on this program, and I keep going back to reminding you, I told you that 2018 would be the year of the boomerang and that everything is now going to swing back and everything is happening. Yesterday, we had Ron DeSantis, 10 other members of Congress. They sent a criminal referral letter to the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, the FBI Director, Christopher Wray, the U.S. Attorney, John Huber. And these members of Congress are calling for criminal investigations into what would be illegal actions of James Comey. And I tried to warn, didn't we try to warn Comey a lot on this program? It was not a good idea to, it was not in any way a good idea to write that book and start going on this big interview tour. Anyway, besides James Comey, then you've got Andrew McCabe, you got Hillary Clinton, you got Loretta Lynch, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, and all the other officials that have ties to the unverified dossier. And the numbers of charges, I can go through them all again, but I kind of did a lot of that on a program yesterday. I won't regurgitate it, but these are serious criminal allegations. And what makes this so stunning is that it is very obvious and very clear, and Comey actually admitted that in the interview that he had with George Stephanopoulos. Well, of course I thought Hillary Clinton was going to be president. I wanted to legitimize her presidency. I didn't want anything tainted, and that's why I reopened the investigation as it related to Anthony Weiner's laptop. That's not what happened at all. They had that information for five previous weeks, and they knew that it was going to be leaked because that came from New York law enforcement officials. So they knew that they had it, and they knew that Comey and others were sitting, and McCabe was sitting on it, and they knew that they probably were hoping that the election would come and the election would go, and that information wouldn't be in the hands of the American people when they got to vote. I mean, these are really, really troubling times that we have here in this country. Let me just to begin to explain to you, I wish in many ways that I had been wrong for the last year. Now, the media is never, ever going to in any way admit that Trump-Russia collusion never occurred. The media is just going to keep following whatever, wherever Robert Mueller and Rod Rosenstein want to go. It doesn't matter that we're now on to Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal and everything else that has nothing to do with Trump-Russia collusion. It doesn't matter how far this investigation goes. They just want to delegitimize and destroy the president in any way they can. And very cleverly, in a sinister way, in my opinion, you know, bringing in the Southern District of New York into this whole thing. Well, then that raises the issue, of course, of, well, if somebody is not found in a federal case, well, they can get him on a state charge. I mean, the whole thing on so many levels is just wrong. And it all goes down to and begins with one family and one person and one Secretary of State and one presidential candidate. And it's everything that the Clintons have had their entire careers. And, you know, they'll dismiss, oh, it's just another attack against us. It's not. You know, you can't put your top secret and your classified and special access programming information on a server in a mom and pop shop in New Jersey. And even Comey's original exoneration draft mentioned, and then, of course, it was pulled out, I believe, for political considerations. That's my interpretation by a long shot. You know, the idea that all these foreign hostile actors and countries, that they tapped into that server. And they, in other words, they have all of that top secret information, classified information. Well, that's the danger. That's why that's why mishandling classified information, 18 U.S.C. 793, is a crime. And destroying such information would happen. That is also a felony. It's a crime. Anybody that has any sense of intellectual honesty will admit that if you have subpoenaed emails and you delete them, and you just, well, come on, it's about a wedding, it's about a funeral, it's about blah, blah, blah. If anyone deletes it and it's subpoenaed and then acid washes and then beats up hard drives, that would be obstruction. And the thing is that everybody knew it. And they didn't do their job. They didn't apply the law equally. It was, in other words, there wasn't equal application under the law. And that's where now things get really, that things have really gone awry here. Because if they just would have simply applied the same laws that everybody else has to face, now maybe she would have, maybe they could have used some prosecutorial discretion. Maybe plea it down to a misdemeanor, whatever. They could have done that, but instead they didn't do any of that. And instead you have this group of deep state actors. You know, you've got all, look at all the actors involved here. You got Comey, and then Comey, of course, has McCabe. And then, of course, Comey and Strzok, the one half of the lovebird duo known as Page and Strzok, that hate Donald Trump, all things Donald Trump, that we're talking about insurance policies with Andrew McCabe, which, by the way, this IG criminal referral has nothing to do with, and Comey and Strzok, and we know Comey doesn't like Trump. You know, now he's just expressing it. You know, he's basically taken three meetings with Trump and blown them into Donald Trump is like a mob boss, and he wasn't as tall as I thought. And he's orange, and he has white under his eyes, and I think he uses a tanning bed, and his hands weren't as big as mine. I mean, that's what you're getting from the former FBI director, and he wants to be taken seriously. And then the FBI director dismissing lying. Well, anyway, I've known law enforcement my entire life. That's been my life. My mom was a prison guard. You know, my dad worked in family court probation. And I can tell you that it was a big deal. The biggest gift I got that I can remember in Christmas was my cousin Billy Kerwin. He was an NYPD officer, and I got a NYPD hat. I got a badge. I got, you know, well, not real handcuffs, and a billy club, a real billy club. I still have it to this day, and that was the best gift I ever got as a kid. And it was a big deal that he was a cop. It was like, wow, looked up to, you know. This he was like idolized. He's a big, tall guy. And then his sister, Maureen, became a police officer. Anyway, and then there were distant cousins of mine that became FBI agents. And they were like, well, that was the pinnacle of success. Remember, the generation before that all came from Ireland with no money. And to get a job as esteemed as a police officer or an FBI agent, that was the mentality and the mindset that I had. But anyway, then you don't have investigations beginning after you've already drawn conclusions and exonerations. And I keep playing this tape. I'll call me. I never did that. Well, you don't write, you know, painstakingly writing exonerations in May, and then you don't interview the main suspect or the main person involved in the case, Hillary, till July, and 17 other witnesses till July. And then, of course, Peter Strzok conducts the interview. We know where his political leanings are. And so that, you know, that gives beyond any doubt the appearance of an impropriety that the fix was in, that the investigation was rigged. And when you look at all the players, if we ever get all the documents and all the text messages and everything that I think we all deserve and want to see, I think we're going to see pretty well that everything that appears to be is. And that's a problem. Then it gets worse than that. I mean, the idea, and I think this is the biggest revelation, and I'll repeat it, with all of this stuff about Comey, and this is part of the criminal referral yesterday, all this information that, in fact, they took. Remember, this all started Trump-Russia collusion. Now, remember, just, you know, a week or two before the election in 2016, Barack Obama is saying, no serious person believes anyone can influence our elections. Donald Trump, stop whining. That's what he said to Donald Trump. Anyway, then they needed an excuse. Nobody thought Donald Trump was going to win. And Comey admitted, no way he's going to win. And I want to legitimize her victory by making sure it seems like we've done our job. That's a problem because that's a political prism that he's looking through. And then it gets to the whole idea that Hillary Clinton and her campaign and the DNC, whose money she controls, according to Donna Brazile, gets funneled through a law firm to hide where it's really going, Perkins Coie, that then gives the money to Fusion GPS. We're talking about serious dollars here, about $12 million. And then they hire a foreign national. I thought foreign nationals weren't supposed to influence American elections. And then the foreign national uses Russian government sources. According to FISA, they're supposed to verify the information. Comey revealed this week they never verified it. It's possible it's true about hookers and a Ritz in Moscow urinating on a bed. It's possible. Well, he should know because that was used as the bulk of information to get a FISA warrant to spy on an American citizen, a Trump campaign associate, in the weeks leading up to an election. And a FISA judge was handed information they never corroborated. They never verified. And, of course, they never disclosed Hillary paid for it. And some little asterisk that they put in there that says, well, it might have some political tainting, doesn't tell the story that they knew. Well, people, you know, George Stephanopoulos asked, well, why didn't you tell Trump that Hillary paid for it? And he mumbles some answer. Forget about then-President-elect Trump. Why didn't you tell the FISA court? Because now we're talking about, you know, warrants on American citizens. And no privacy exists if, in fact, the government can use those powerful tools of intelligence to do that to American citizens. All right, if you're just joining us, 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. Hold on, maybe even more breaking news. All right, Democratic senator to back Pompeo as Secretary of State. This is in the Hill, virtually guaranteed. Now, let me say this about Mike Pompeo. Do you know the guy graduated? Linda, did you see this guy's resume?
It's
number
incredible.
One in West Point. I mean, it's pretty. I mean, this guy's impressive. Now, we used to have him on the show. Heitkamp, by the way, North Dakota, becomes the first Democrat to back Pompeo. Look, the only reason Heitkamp's doing this is because she's in the fight of her political life this year. And Mike Pompeo, there's never been anybody that is more qualified to do that job than Mike Pompeo. And do you remember I met with him once? I think you were actually on that trip, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
Okay. I walked out of a meeting with this guy, and the thing is he's a genius, but he's a regular guy at the same time. And the thing is, you know, there's a CIA director that we need. You know, somebody that I think understands that you don't use the powerful tools of intelligence to spy on the American people. You know, there's a guy with the intellect. You know, look at this whole thing with North Korea should stun everybody, and nobody wants to talk about it in the news. Nobody. Because North Korea, think about this. Everybody was saying, oh, my gosh, he called him Little Rocket Man again. And he said, my red button's bigger than yours, and my red button works. And people are, like, freaking out. And then all of a sudden, Little Rocket Man wants to be a part of the Olympics. That wouldn't have happened but for Donald Trump and this whole principle that I've always supported called peace through strength. You know, the same thing. Look at China. Nobody in the media will ever touch that China caved on tariffs, intellectual property rights, and a whole lot more because it has been unfair trade with China. And all these other countries, everyone predicted, oh, gosh, we're going to have a trade war. We're not having a trade war. We're going to have a freer, fairer agreement that's going to benefit American workers. That's the whole point of negotiating. You know, the one thing the media doesn't get about Donald Trump, and I know him this well, everything with him is a negotiation. He's posturing the whole time. Even yesterday, he's announcing the North Korean meeting. Well, if it's not going to go well, I'm not going to go. I mean, that's just basically setting the table so it gets worked out ahead of time. And then who knew he had gotten France and Great Britain on board on the Syria attack? Nobody. No credit either.
If you submit these questions, you have awful handwriting.
Hey, Mr. Comey, hey, how is it ethical to brief the President of the United States on an unverifiable and salacious dossier? And how is it ethical leadership to not tell him that his political opposition, Hillary Clinton, paid for that? You didn't disclose that information. Why didn't you disclose to President Trump that his opposition paid for the material? You are not an ethical leader. Today, Mr. Comey, 11 lawmakers, Mr. Comey, today filed a criminal referral against you.
Ma'am, you're going to have to leave.
You're going to get prosecuted, Comey. You're going to get locked up.
Let's go.
All right.
So that was at a Barnes & Noble book signing. That was Laura Loomer who confronted James Comey. You know, this really eats at me because that is the crux of it all. I cannot understand, and I got to appreciate Alan Dershowitz over this. And a lot of people, oh, you must be mad at Alan Dershowitz because Alan Dershowitz said to you the other night it was a conflict. No, I don't care. People are entitled to their opinion. I believe in honesty. Speak your piece. Who cares? And Alan's on tonight. I think he was quoted. I'm not sure if I'm. He was invited on last night. He had some. I guess he went to a play or something. I don't know what he did. But this is what drives me nuts. If everybody could just put their partisanship aside for a second and just think about how profound this is, we have got to, as a country, resolve this. And the criminalization, political differences, okay, fine. We have to debate it all. There's just got to be equal application of the laws in this country. It has to be, or you don't have a country. The Constitution is the rule of law for our country. It is. You start shredding it, you know, that's what, you don't have law. You have the opposite. You have anarchy. You have trouble. You have, you know, you become Venezuela at that point. That's a problem. And this world needs a strong constitutional republic and leadership from the United States of America. I believe that with all my heart and my soul, because it's that important. But the crux of the matter is right there in that question. Mr. Comey, why, you know, not only why did you not tell the president that this was a foreign national Christopher Steele using Russian and Russian government sources for Clinton and Clinton DNC run dossier and then funneling money through Perkins Coie to go to Fusion GPS? Fusion GPS admitted, you know, Glenn Simpson admitted he never verified it at all, the dossier. And then to think that that dossier is then used as the basis for a FISA warrant against an American citizen. But even worse than that, they never corroborated. They never verified. They never told the judge Hillary paid for it against a Trump campaign associate. No judge would have approved of that warrant if the judge had that understanding. They withheld critical, crucial information. It's like one of my biggest beefs with Robert Mueller. It's about hiring Andrew Weissman, who twice excoriated for withholding exculpatory evidence in a criminal case. Now, there's something really wrong and twisted if you're willing to hold back information. In one case, tens of thousands of citizens lost their jobs as a result of it at Anderson Accounting. Those are real people with real mortgages, real car payments, real kids in college. You know, everyone, you know, we make plans based on how much money we make. And then, of course, the Supreme Court ends up overturning it. But how many years later? The damage is done at that point. I'm not the biggest fan of Wall Street. I've said that 1,000 times on this program. But maybe you don't like Wall Street. But you don't put four Merrill executives in jail, and that's overturned after they spent a year in jail. This is where this is also problematic to me. Because we are a nation of law. We are a nation that of equal justice under the law, equal application under the law. Well, this is interesting. Can you check this out? Greg Moscheri, Bugsy, just sent me a text here, Linda, that Rod Rosenstein said to tell Trump that he's not the target of the Mueller probe. It's on Zero Hedge. Can you look that up? I didn't see that.
I will look into it.
Hang on, another breaking piece. Yeah, I got it. Hang on. Bloomberg Politics. Rosenstein told Trump last week he is not a target of any part of Mueller's investigation, according to two sources. Really? That's great news. Is the media going to cover their lie for a year and a half? Are they going to tell the American... Oops, sorry. All these networks breathlessly, hysterically... You know, every detail, you know, running on the President Trump, Russia collusion. Now it's stormy,
fallout
stormy,
tonight
stormy.
In the Russia investigation.
Russia. I'm literally. Why isn't that breaking news all over the place? Listen, I experienced this week myself, and I watch, and I pay very close attention. And whatever anybody, like, there was a report in the Washington Post full of factual errors about me. They never called me. They never asked me. And, you know, they quoted one person, Dave Bossi, who said nice things about me. He's been a friend of mine for years. I've always loved David Bossi. Smart. Remember Dave Bossi, Citizens United? He's the guy behind that case. Then they cite 12 unnamed sources that know me and the president. And he said, Kennedy constantly talks to the president. The first thing they said is in the morning and at night. Okay, lie number one. I don't ever recall talking to the president in my life in the morning. And they overblow this story. He is a shadow chief of staff for the president. Okay. It's not true. But here's the problem. 12 unnamed sources by the corrupt Washington Post that has gone so in the tank anti-Trump, just like the New York Times, so in the tank, just like every news channel except for Fox, so in the tank, every network newscast, so in the tank against the president. Now we've got new information. Oh, Rod Rosenstein, he's not a target. He told Trump last week he isn't a target of Mueller's investigation. but then I'm watching these cable shows talk about me. And all they're citing are the 12 unnamed sources and the article that never called me about it. That I said it's just a lie. And I know it's a lie. And it doesn't matter that it's a lie. You know, I honestly think, Linda, I think you'll back me up on this. I think I deserve to be on the payroll of CNN and MSNBC because they run my picture constantly.
And they run your tape.
Constantly. They're like running my opening monologues.
Sean Hannity.
How did he say it? Was it like Sean
Hannity? How did he say it?
Sean Hannity.
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 Sean Hannity.
Sean Hannity.
Sean Hannity.
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 Sean Hannity.
Sean Hannity.
Sean Hannity.
Sean Hannity.
Hannity.
Sean Hannity.
I can't take it. I just can't take it anymore. Nobody wants to hear that. But the fascinating thing is to watch. It's sort of like the game telephone that you did when you were in school. You know, we say one word, one phrase.
Whisper down the lane?
What's that?
Talking about whisper down the lane?
No, we didn't call it whisper down the lane. I never heard a whisper down the lane. What is that? I never heard it.
I don't know. The whole studio is disagreeing with me, so go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, so finally, I'm more hip than you are. Thank God.
You're welcome.
All right. I'll take it, by the way. And you watch it, 12 unnamed sources. They never call me. Washington Post headline. And they say things about me that are not true. And then it literally becomes the discussion on so many shows. And I'm like, it's not true. There's so many errors in it. I would have to spend an hour to go through them all. And that's how corrupt your news media is. Now, I'm going to tell you another thing. Now that Rod Rosenstein is telling the president he's not a target in the Mueller probe in any way, shape, matter, or form, according to two people familiar with the matter, Rosenstein brought up Mueller, the probe himself, offering the assurance during a meeting with Trump at the White House last Thursday, which is a development that helped tamp down the president's desire to remove Rosenstein or Mueller, which, by the way, they've been speculating for months. He's about to fire Mueller. About any second. Any second. That's happening soon. That's what you get. Anyway, so the president never has, and I don't think ever will. I think it's gone so far awry that it ought to concern every American, just like it ought to concern every American that a FISA judge was lied to and given, you know, a Hillary Clinton bought and paid for, foreign agent, Russian government source lies about a president. And if Trump was so compromised by Putin, he wouldn't be doing all the things he does to Putin, because Putin's not loving Trump right now. Anyway, that's a huge development today.
You know, I just got a funny email from a friend of ours, Jeffrey Lord, and he said he thought you were the chief of staff. He's wondering when that's coming out.
Yeah, okay. You know, I mean, it's really amazing. I would love to take credit. It's just not true. If it was true, I don't lie about this stuff. Why would I lie about it? Well, now we've got a lot of news. We got McCabe with a criminal referral to the U.S. attorney. That's on top of the referrals yesterday by Ron DeSantis and the criminal referrals sent, let's see, on Loretta Lynch and Strzok and Page and Comey and Hillary and anybody involved in the dossier issue. This is a big problem. Big problem. And then you got, you know, the Comey memos now are going to be released to Congress. That's also big news. That's huge news. So Justice Department is going to give Congress those memos. That is a huge story. Department of Justice officials telling Fox News they anticipate later today that they will provide the relevant congressional committees access to the Comey memos. You know how worked up people are? Let me tell you how worked up they are. The continuing stream of this overheated hysteria, fake news, myopic coverage. Newt was right. They wake up in the morning. How can I hate Trump more today? What can I hate on him about today? What rumor can I run around with today? Nobody's paying attention to dossiers, Warren spying on Americans and using lies to do it. Not telling judges who paid for them. So things are getting so hot that literally in Pittsburgh police have received word from a potential large-scale protest if Donald Trump fires Robert Mueller. Anyway, the information literally leads them to believe a protest would take place in Pittsburgh's Central Business District within 24 hours of the special counsel's much-hyped removal. Quote, we may be needed to assist in the event that there's a large-scale protest, an internal email warned. Based on this information, beginning Thursday, April 19, 2018, all major crime detectives are required to bring full uniform and any issued protective equipment, riot gear with them to work until further notice. Are you kidding me? It's unbelievable. That's how bad the media is. And the sad part is, we've been right and they've been wrong. There's no collusion. And nor do they seem to care how far has this mandate, Stormy Daniels, really stop. This is insanity. And it's pretty much all you get 24/7. I wish I wasn't right. I really do. We can focus on the forgotten men and women of this country and the safety and security of this country. The good job performance never gets talked about. It's sad, but it's reality. Why do you think we're fighting so hard? Because I see all these lies every day. All this corruption is right there. The biggest abuse of power scandal in American history, and the media in this country has been missing in action, perpetrating conspiracy theories and lies to the American people. All right, as we roll along, Sean Hannity Show, major, big, huge, massive breaking news day. If you're just joining us, Rod Rosenstein telling the president last week he is not the target of any part of Mueller's investigation, two sources quoted in the article is saying. On top of that, we've got a lot of other news. We've got, of course, McCabe now has been criminally referred to the U.S. attorney in D.C., and much more. We have our panel next. All right, glad you're with us. 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. We've got a lot, and I mean a lot of breaking news today. The Justice Department Inspector General issuing a criminal referral as it relates to Andrew McCabe and his prosecution. And the Justice Department Inspector General, that's Michael Horowitz, and said they referred their finding that the former FBI Director McCabe repeatedly misled investigators, and the referral is now to the D.C. U.S. Attorney's Office. But that's only a small part of the breaking news that we have today. We have Washington Post, and now everybody is reporting that Rod Rosenstein, in fact, told Donald Trump he is not a target in the Mueller probe. And apparently that happened last Thursday, when Rosenstein, apparently it was just a meeting that took place, and it was Rosenstein who brought up the Mueller probe himself and offered the assurance during a meeting with the president at the White House. And that might explain some of the president's more recent comments. On top of that, we are following up yesterday's news with Ron DeSantis, the congressman from Florida, who wants to be governor of Florida, who'd make a good governor of Florida. And that, of course, is the criminal referral on key players like Hillary Clinton, James Comey, Andrew McCabe, Strzok, and Page, and Loretta Lynch, and anyone involved in the dossier. And that's the short list of news that we're covering today. Joining us now, we have David Schoen. He's a criminal and civil rights attorney, investigative reporter Sarah Carter. Let's start with the Rod Rosenstein news. David, let's start with you on the legal side of it. How do you take that?
I think it is an interesting fact to be maybe put on the shelf, because it's a dangerous fact. Being a target or subject of an investigation can change overnight. We've seen some bad things happen with some of the people involved here, meaning Mr. Rosenstein and others, the direction, the breadth of this investigation. I don't like to be particularly skeptical, but is this also a way to get Mr. Trump to sit down with Mr. Mueller, something that I've advised strongly, strongly, strongly against on any time I've spoken about it? And I don't know. It's an interesting fact. I don't know what to make of it, but it's also nothing locked in stone. Could change any minute.
Why would he bring it up on his own, Sarah Carter? And what do you concur with our friend, Mr. Schoen?
Yeah, I do. I think that Mr. Schoen, David's brought up a very good point here. I think it's I think it's important that he brought it up on his own for one particular purpose, is that he is trying to reassure the president, and we've seen it's a very tumultuous time now, especially with what happened with Michael Cohen, the president's attorney, that, look, you're not the target, you know, of an investigation, more like a witness or a subject. We want to reassure you of that fact. But still, I mean, with everything that's happened, with all the documents that were seized, with the battle that's going on right now, we have to ask ourselves this question. What's going to change in the future? Just as Mr. Schoen has stated, I mean, he's an attorney and he understands how these things are played and how these games are played when it comes to cases like this. So I think I would be very cautious. It's the same exact statement that was given to the president earlier on. I think coming from Rosenstein, it's maybe Rosenstein's trying to stop the president or from doing anything, because there have been a lot of rumors that he might be removed. And obviously the president has said that he has no plans on doing that. But of course, the president can change his mind at any point in time. So this is a really cautious game, and everyone seems to be playing, moving their chess pieces in different directions. But look, the investigation is still ongoing. Look how far it went with Michael Cohen.
Yeah, look at that. We're so far beyond the mandate. Let me ask this question then, and I'll go to David Schoen first on this. When you bring in the Southern District of New York, I mean, this is a serious, they're serious players there. I mean, Andy McCarthy's been there. I mean, Rudy Giuliani's been. I mean, you have a who's who list of people that have served in that office, and they're known for going after big name people, aren't they?
Yeah, they sure are. Look, there's a lot more to this story, I think, than that. Also, one thing that it offers them is something that can't be shut down so easily. In other words, you could shut down the special counsel investigation here for very good reason, but the Southern District thing would still go on. So in some sense, maybe it's an insurance policy. But talking about who's who, remember, a leading member of Mr. Mueller's team was the most recent former head of the public corruption unit in that office that's handling this case now. We know it was in part a referral from Mr. Mueller. Was that fellow involved? I don't know. Unfortunately, who and who's who in all of this investigation seems to be far too important a factor than the facts and justice. Listen, you know, I'm a criminal defense lawyer. I'm not big on these Rodney King moments, you know, let's just all get along. I think anyone would be crazy to let their guard down. You know, if you had asked Mr. Rosenstein, Michael Cohen wasn't a target. Nobody told him he was a target of the investigation before he
Let me do a follow-up to this. The Attorney General of New York State is a guy by the name of Eric Schneiderman, and he's kind of had his own ongoing battle with Donald Trump going back for a long time. And so he made a proposal earlier today that he wants to actually change some of the laws as it represents in New York. In other words, under the Constitution, individuals are guaranteed the right to protection against double jeopardy. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie. Ashley Judd was actually very good in that movie. But he wants to add these exceptions where if somebody got a pardon, I assume they're probably thinking Michael Cohen or somebody like that, that in fact it wouldn't stop them from prosecuting them in New York. What do you make of that move?
I make of it as another one of these sort of anti-Trump, all new legislative efforts that seem to turn the rule of law and our system on their head simply for an agenda. That's not how we ought to be operating in this country. There are certain things that...
In other words, the timing of this proposal seems odd to you.
I'm not a big believer in coincidence.
Yeah. Sarah, let's get to the other news here. McCabe, yesterday we went into great detail about the criminal referral from Ron DeSantis and 11 congressmen. I mean, it was a pretty devastating blow, in my opinion, to especially those people involved in this. I think that now will prompt Jeff Sessions to at least do something. Now you have the inspector general now who has criminally referred Andrew McCabe to the U.S. Attorney of D.C.
I think it was expected. And remember, we kept reporting that. I mean, the evidence is there. The inspector general had the evidence that McCabe lied. Eventually, he came out with it publicly. McCabe was fired before that, before the inspector general went public, before Attorney General Jeff Sessions went public with the reasons why Andrew McCabe was fired. And he lied. He lied multiple times under oath. He's also involved in a much bigger controversy than just lying, and that is the Inspector General's investigation into how the FBI has handled, you know, the Hillary Clinton matter. And that's something that we haven't seen that report yet. So that's something that we're expecting to see in May from Inspector General Horowitz. And I think this is incredible because, remember, Sean, I was reporting over a year ago what was going on inside, you know, the Washington, D.C. field office with the FBI. There were, you know, former FBI agents and law enforcement officials that I spoke with that had said, you know, Andrew McCabe was really dead set on getting Michael Flynn, who was the former national security advisor, that he wanted to find any way that he could get him for lying. When the agents went and interviewed Flynn, one of them being Peter Strzok, they returned back to the FBI field office and basically stated that they didn't believe he was lying. We reported that, and then later Comey testified to that fact and stated that those FBI agents didn't believe that Flynn was lying, and still the special counsel, Robert Mueller, was able to get him to basically plead guilty to one count of lying to the FBI. And that's still a mystery to a lot of people. People attribute that to maybe he was trying to protect his son. Maybe he was trying to, you know, he was exhausted from, you know, the legal fees and what it was doing to his family. And so he buckled down to the special counsel. Well, right now, the guy that wanted to take Flynn down and all these other people is now facing the same exact charges, except it's more egregious. It's written in stone. It's in an IG report, and we see that he deliberately lied. Not only did he lie, think about this. He threw other FBI executives, people that he had worked with, under a bus. He basically lied. He allowed the leak to happen. And then he calls later to New York field office and reprimands the New York field office for the leak. I mean, mm-hmm. This is what the IG discovered.
You know, I'm looking at all of this, and I still, to both of you, and I'll ask David first, I go back to, I cannot believe that James Comey admitted this week he doesn't know what's in the dossier. Well, it's possible, it could be true. And I mean, that is stunningly spectacular to me. Nobody in the media talks about the ramifications of this, which is that you have a Hillary Clinton, you know, funneled money through a law firm. That's an issue. Using a foreign national. I thought that was a big issue. Who gets Russian government sources and Russian sources, creates a dossier. Nobody verifies or corroborates it. And they use it as the basis, the bulk of information for a FISA warrant. And they don't tell the FISA judge they didn't verify it. Fusion GPS didn't verify it. Nobody verified it. And a lot of it's debunked. And then on top of that, they don't tell the judge in four instances, the original application, three subsequent applications, that in fact, David, it was Hillary Clinton that paid for it. How do you do that? That's lying to a judge.
You do it because there's no accountability in the system. That's why the ex parte part of the system, allowing a prosecutor unilaterally to make representations to a judge with consequences this severe, is almost unheard of. There's an exception since 1978 with this FISA court, but that's why the judges there take it very seriously and have to be livid about what they are starting to learn happened. But it's no accountability, first of all. Until you started raising these questions and now Congress is following that lead, there wasn't any and there would not have been. That's why, by the way, you know, the criminal justice system itself is intended to be an adversarial system. And so a primary principle is to investigate the investigation from the start.
You know, and this is the irony. Assuming that Rod Rosenstein, Bloomberg's correct today, tells the president he's not a target of Mueller, that means they never found any Trump-Russia collusion. That's what it means. And now we're on to Stormy.
And Sean, it's a fact. I mean, they've all come out and said they don't have evidence. If there was evidence, it would have leaked. Look how much is already leaking out there. Look at all of the information that's already out there, and they still haven't leaked any direct link between Russia and President Trump's campaign.
And it doesn't exist, or else they would have found it. All right, we'll take a break. Well, that's another thing. There was Russian collusion. Hillary paid for Russian lies, and then they used it to get a FISA warrant to spy on an American citizen that they didn't verify. And it happens to be a member of the an associate of the Trump campaign. This whole thing is outrageous if you believe in the right to civil liberties in this country. This is more dangerous than anybody really knows. All right, breaking Bloomberg, Rosenstein told Donald Trump last week that he isn't a target of any part of Mueller's investigation. Then, of course, we have a report. Andrew McCabe has now been criminally referred by the inspector general to the U.S. attorney of D.C. That's some pretty big news. Then we had the criminal referrals yesterday from Congress. What do you think, Sarah, happens with the criminal referrals, the DeSantis, of course, referral, and then Mark Meadows and Trey Gowdy and what they're doing?
Well, I think, first of all, you know, now we have multiple criminal referrals on McCabe, so I think he is in really hot water. I think he understands he's going to be facing a lot of legal challenges in the near future, and his defense is going to be very weak since he's already been investigated by the inspector general thoroughly. I also think there's going to be more information coming out. I think as far as the criminal referrals sent by Representative Ron DeSantis, I think it's about time. His list of referrals, particularly with regard to Hillary Clinton. I mean, if you're looking at the fact that they did not disclose in their paperwork during the campaign that they had paid for this, they sent it through the cutout, you know, through their attorney and paid for the dossier for the research on President Trump. I also heard something very interesting from somebody I was talking to in the intelligence community who brought this up. Look, the FBI relied on this dossier, which was basically put together by an ex-British spy and all of these Russian agents and Fusion GPS. You know, we have intelligence agents all over the world. We have FBI working counterintelligence. We have CIA. We have people in all kinds of departments. Why weren't they collecting this information? If this was really out there, I mean, you would think that our own intelligence agencies wouldn't have to rely on foreign intelligence
to bring charges against the president. I'd like to jump in on this subject.
We've got about 45 seconds. This. Yeah.
Yeah, the piece that Sarah wrote yesterday is the definitive piece on this issue. If you think people aren't interested, had over 200,000 hits right away. One of the many reasons people are so interested is this is a fascinating constitutional battle playing out in public. For the first time in a long time, we're seeing Article 1 members of Congress flexing their muscle into the void where there has been no action. You know, people talk about the president acting so powerfully. This president has been very laid back in terms of the power he could be exercising. He could be taking much greater control of the Justice Department if he wanted to. Article 2 gives him that power.
Such a good reminder. Everybody forgets that, and he does have the power under Article 2. I got to let you both go. Thank you both. Great work. We'll see you both on Hannity tonight. Kellyanne Conway coming up next.
And it's really upsetting and very disturbing that the president has been gunning for Andrew McCabe since the campaign. He's been gunning to get his pension taken away from him. This kind of Friday night massacre is a little concerning.
Doug, former FBI director, deputy director Andrew McCabe fired after more than 20 years of service, by the way. Is there any comparison to Nixon's Saturday night massacre?
Yeah, I mean, this will be known as the Friday night slaughter.
It is clear as day that the President of the United States directed the Attorney General either implicitly or explicitly to fire Andy McCabe to undermine him as a witness in any upcoming proceeding in which McCabe could corroborate Jim Comey's testimony that the President of the United States obstructed justice.
Because we know that these investigations generally move slowly. There may have been good cause to terminate McCabe, but the speed at which it's done alone raises the specter of doubt. Ultimately, obstruction, even if it's not a criminal action, is always an impeachable offense.
To me, this reminds of the Comey firing. It seems like, even though, as Josh said, This should be a situation where if someone in the FBI, including McCabe, has not been fully truthful, then they do have to face the consequences, even though he, of course, denies it, as Pamela just reported. But this looks like a punishment in search of a transgression rather than a transgression that's followed by a punishment.
But the point is to tear down the credibility of all people involved with anything pertaining to anything that might look into this president, which leads one to believe that this is authoritarian behavior or the making of one.
The level of vindictiveness, Walter, in the behavior, the actions of the president of the United States toward a federal official, a 21-year veteran of the FBI who has done exemplary work over those 21 years, I don't know any frame of reference for it.
You know, you always hear this phrase that this comes out of Putin's playbook. Well, this actually comes out of an old playbook, an older playbook, the KGB's playbook. They had a four-point plan for how KGB operations, propaganda, and agents were to operate against both the CIA and United States law enforcement. First one was to use activities that would demoralize, discredit, or disinform about their operations. Then they would go after individual agents. Then they would go after their leadership. Donald Trump is literally playing by the Russian playbook on this.
Usually those messages you're talking about are actually private text messages, which probably should have never been leaked in the first place. And there are also anti-Clinton and anti-politician messages wrapped up in that as well. So I think that's separate from Andrew McCabe. But he is a key witness here in the entire Mueller investigation. We now know that he's turned over notes to Mueller. He has potentially information that could back up James Comey's stories about the firing of James Comey, the potential firing, the firing and interference with Michael Flynn. So he is a key witness, and you have to ask the question, is President Trump trying to taint him as a witness in the Mueller investigation?
The FBI's outgoing deputy director, Andrew McCabe, 4 days from retiring, his pension now at stake.
So in other words, Jeff Sessions can fire him before he gets his pension.
Yes.
Yes. And then after all the years he started in the 90s, he won't get his pension.
No, he will not.
If they're focusing on how they can prevent a 20-year veteran of the FBI to prevent him from collecting
his pension,
if they're talking about they can...
McCabe, who was let go a little more than 24 hours before he was eligible to receive his pension,
ousted less than 2 days before he was set to retire, his benefits stripped.
I think many people were surprised by the harshness of it and the timing, especially the loss of his pension. Could anything be done about that?
The people who are going to pay the price here are McCabe's wife and children, and that seems horribly unfair.
All right, that was the media's reaction when, in fact, Jeff Sessions did fire Andrew McCabe, the deputy FBI director. Now there's the report that we have been going with all day that is now out, Daily Caller, all the major newspapers, that the Inspector General, that would be Michael Horowitz of the Department of Justice, has now made a criminal referral for the former FBI Director Andrew McCabe. We're also following the story that, in fact, it looks like the Justice Department will be releasing these Comey memos to Congress. Now, we have so much going on. And then yesterday's criminal referral by Congressman Ron DeSantis and 11 other people on a whole host of people that we've been covering now for over a year. Kellyanne Conway, counsel to the president, is with us. How are you?
I'm great, Sean. How are you?
Let's get your first reaction here that McCabe is now criminally referred to the U.S. Attorney of D.C. Your reaction?
Well, so it's just a stunning development. And those who were defending him merely because he was being dismissed by the Attorney General Jeff Sessions, which of course was Mr. Sessions' right, should really take a look at these articles that are written by their friends in the print media. The evidence, the alleged evidence, is stunning, and it takes an awful lot for an inspector general to refer its findings that a former FBI deputy director, Sean, that's the number two in charge right behind Comey in a bureau of 25,000 honorable men and women. And why are they referring it? The crime is that he repeatedly misled investigators. What were those investigators investigating? Whether he was leaking to, you know, top federal prosecutors and to the media. I mean, it's just unbelievable that the number two would allegedly be so biased and would be sharing information that he should not be. That's on top of everything that you and others have been relentlessly and doggedly pursuing for many months now in the public interest, which is other people who are in charge of the Clinton investigation at the FBI, the Sexters, Orrin, his wife. You know, just again and again, the fix was in. And it didn't even work. They couldn't even do that right because the person they didn't want to win won. And I think in light of Comey's book being out there, it all just becomes this toxic stew where somebody who's a key witness in the Mueller investigation is out there selling books, not saving America, puffing himself up. I think 30 days of Jim Comey is going to be about 29 and a half too many to the consuming public. And the public ought to just turn away from his nonsense, self-aggrandizing book and look at things like today's reports, where the inspector general is referring Andrew McCabe, again, the number two at the FBI, to the U.S. attorney for considerations of criminal charges. Hey, Sean, if people want to read anything about Jim Comey, they ought to read the Comey memos and not the Comey book. That'll really be something when they're turned over
to
Congress.
That's a great line. Can I steal that? I like that a lot.
It.
You know, let me play for you an interview. This is Comey admitting, well, I lie. I've admitted to my lies in my book, and a lot of good people have lied. And when I heard it, the first thing I thought of was General Flynn. Take a listen.
So do you think the future of the FBI is transparency?
I think it has to be a huge part of the FBI because public confidence in the FBI is its bedrock. We have to show people our work when we can, as often as possible, so they have confidence in
Even
us.
Even if that means your second in command was fired for lying four times. So this is where I think the confusion comes from. Your second in command, McCabe, was fired for lying multiple times within the FBI. You defended his character on Twitter. That's okay. Lying is okay internally.
No, it's definitely not. In fact, the McCabe case illustrates what an organization that's committed to the truth looks like. We investigated hold. I ordered that investigation. Mm-hmm. We investigate and hold people accountable. Good people lie. I lay out in the book, I think I'm a good person where I've lied. I still believe Andrew McCabe is a good person, but the inspector general found that he lied, and there's severe consequences in the Justice Department for lying, as there should be throughout the government.
Unbelievable. I mean, what does that mean for what General Flynn went through?
Well, again, let's talk about what's happening here. That, well, people think there are double standards all the time, as you know, and they're usually correct. But it says that, in reading the Washington Post report, I mean, this is from the Washington Post, that last week the inspector general sent the report to Congress blasting McCabe. What did he say? He said that McCabe inappropriately authorized the disclosure of sensitive information to the media. I mean, Sean, we can't get people to turn over documents to the Congress, to go and testify in front of Congress if they're asked to, or go share information if they're asked to. But we've got people leaking to the media. Jim Comey himself admitted that he did that. He admitted after he was fired, and he admitted this under oath last June. He admitted that after he was fired, he wanted to get information out, so he gave it to his friend, a professor, and not a government employee, and that friend gave it to the New York Times, and that Jim Comey did that with an eye toward the friend getting it to the New York Times and, quote, hoping to trigger a special counsel, which is exactly what happened. People have to look at all this and not be so besotted with Jim Comey and his media tour, and he's going on late night TV, and he's taking shots at a president that he engaged with probably a handful of times within 6 or 8 weeks before he was fired, and is writing a book on these three drive-by engagements, if you will, relatively quick engagements with the president.
It's like a fishing story.
Ago.
It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And it was like a mob boss, trying to say.
Well, that's a disgrace to say, by the way.
Is,
and I take umbrage at that because I work for this man every single day. I have much more contact in a given day with Donald Trump than Jim Comey had in the very brief tenure before he was fired from his job. And that's just not true. He's saying what he thinks will sell books, will be most scintillating. You know, his biggest sound bites of the week aren't even in the book. The PR agents must have decided that the book was so boring, because after all, it's a book by Jim Comey, that they had to come up with some clever sound bites after the fact, post-book sound bites, and then that's what's been making the way through the chyrons. But his book aside, he was the number one, and Andrew McCabe was the number two, and they both have admitted to leaking. Plenty of people see them as leakers and having very casual relationships with the truth. And it's to say nothing of the other fact, which is why in the world would you try to write a book and talk about the integrity of the FBI and take pot shots about someone else's marriage, someone else's physical looks? I mean, what are we in this third grade here?
No, that would be nursery school. But let me ask you this, because it really gets the biggest admission to me was the part where Comey actually said, oh, it's possible the Russian dossier is true. The big problem, Kellyanne, with that is that, well, that dossier we now know was used as the bulk of of information presented to a FISA court for a FISA warrant to spy on an opposition party. And it gets worse because it was a foreign national, Christopher Steele, using Hillary Clinton funneled money and using Russian sources that were never corroborated, and it was never identified that it was her money. That's a problem.
Two quick things on that, Sean. Number one, dossier is a French, you know, it's like a French word for a load of crap in this case. Number two, Jim Comey failed to disclose to President-elect Trump on January 6th in Trump Tower the same thing that those seeking the FISA warrant failed to disclose to the FISA judges. Same thing. Never told either party a very important fact in evidence that his political opponents had paid millions and millions and millions of dollars for that information. Jim Comey, now Stephanopoulos, pushed him on. He said, don't you think Donald Trump had a right to know? He said, I don't have an answer to that question. It didn't serve my goals. What exactly were his goals, Sean, if that didn't serve his goals?
But the problem is bigger than that. Because they should have told the court, you know, and remember that was presented as the bulk of information in October. And he was telling the president elect in January that it was salacious and unverified. That means
that he wasn't under investigation.
Yeah. All right.
He wasn't being investigated.
You know, I want to ask you a foreign policy question, which I don't often get to ask, but I'm watching everything now. Little rocket man, Kim Jong-un, everybody said, oh, he's going to start a nuclear war. He's now going to meet with the president to talk about denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. Nobody paid attention in the media that China totally blinked as it relates to tariffs and intellectual property issues involving the United States. That was a huge win. Nobody is seeing the emerging alliance that the president very, very quietly put a coalition of the willing, France and Great Britain together when they went after Syria. And then you've got the Saudis, you got the Jordanians, Egyptians, and the Emirates and Israel and the United States now working together. I mean, that is more foreign policy success than Obama ever dreamed of in 8 years.
Yes, so one need not win a Nobel Peace Prize before they even take office, as was done in the past, to recognize how much progress is being made. And you've laid out the bulk of it. Let's talk about North Korea for a moment. What matters most is that the summit is successful, if it happens, in advancing the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. Let's keep our eye on what this is about. Now, the U.S. and North Korea, as people realized yesterday in recognizing that Director Pompeo had made his way over there, they've been holding talks in preparation for a summit. And North Korea has confirmed its willingness to talk about denuclearization, which is what we have on the menu. North Korea was also a topic of discussion between Prime Minister Abe and President Trump. They're united in continuing the maximum pressure campaign. And when you look at Iran and its role, you see this president continues to send messages to Iran by his other actions around the world, certainly in his response in Syria, certainly, frankly, in his push to denuclearize North Korea, another major potential nuclear threat. And so much of this is weaved together. But I'll tell you, Sean, if you turn on the TV or open your computer most days, you wouldn't know any of this is happening. You'd have no idea. Information underload, the information deficit. I think people are reacting and not reporting much of the time. Most of them want to get the president and not get the story. And it's a shame because it also probably doesn't matter because people can open their computers and get information for themselves. They can find the factual information if they look for it. But there's so much that's happening in the way of progress domestically and internationally with security and prosperity. People feel it. They know it. Mm-hmm. Look at all the people who don't have a message really moving forward into the fall. I won't mention them, but this is good. This is a contrast right now of a president whose tax cuts and job act and deregulation and putting ISIS on the run, especially in Syria. People see the prosperity and the security that's coming to them, and they like it.
All right, Kellyanne Conway, counsel to the president. I know you're busy every day. Thanks for the work you're doing. We appreciate your hard work every day. 800-941 Sean, toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. We'll get to your calls coming up later in the day and much more straight ahead.
Stay right here for our final news roundup and information overload.
Thank you for submitting these questions. You have awful handwriting. Hey, Mr. Comey, hey, how is it ethical to brief the President of the United States on an unverifiable and salacious dossier? And how is it ethical leadership to not tell him that his political opposition, Hillary Clinton, paid for that? You didn't disclose that information. Why didn't you disclose to President Trump that his opposition paid for the material? You are not an ethical leader. Today, Mr. Comey, 11 lawmakers, Mr. Comey, today filed a criminal referral against you.
Ma'am, you're going to have to leave.
All right, James Comey was doing a book signing yesterday. Laura Loomer confronted him, well-known. When did we first meet Laura? She was working for James O'Keefe, I think, at the time.
Yeah, she was with O'Keefe from Project Veritas.
And so she went, you know, the thing is, that is really the key question. And that is an unverified, uncorroborated, salacious dossier, a foreign national Christopher Steele puts together, uses Russian sources. Hillary pays it by funneling money through Perkins Coie so that they don't see it as the expense that it is. And then they pay Fusion GPS, etc. And though the worst part is it's used as the bulk of a FISA application to spy on an American citizen, an associate of the Trump campaign, and they don't tell the judge that they never verified, never corroborated, and Hillary paid for it. You can't make this stuff up. And on the entire book tour of James Comey, nobody's asking him that question. Anyway, 800-941-SEAN is our toll-free telephone number. Jonathan Gillum, author of the best-selling book, Sheep No More. Danielle McLaughlin, attorney, constitutional expert who co-wrote The Federalist Society, How Conservatives Took the Law Back from Liberals. All right, Danielle, how do you explain, you're an attorney, correct?
Yeah, last time I checked, Sean, hi.
How are you? How do you possibly explain that they use this unverified foreign national dossier the way they did to get a warrant? How do you justify lying to a FISA court judge?
Well, the first thing is that they didn't lie because they disclosed that this was the product of opposition research in a footnote
stop,
in the FISA application.
Stop, stop. That's not
we
true. That is not,
record.
No,
that
it is.
Is
there is an asterisk that says it may have a political taint to it, but they knew Hillary paid for it, and they never told the judge, oh, it's actually the other party that did this.
Well, at this point, we were...
How do you justify it not being verified, too?
Well, a couple of things. First, it started with a conservative publication, and it was paid for by Cruz, and then it went to Clinton. At the time the FISA warrant was put before the court, there was only one political opponent. I believe the language used in the FISA application was person number one.
Right, let me stop you for a second. Number one, Christopher Steele was never... When there was opposition research being done by Republicans with Fusion GPS, it never entailed Christopher Steele. That only happened when Hillary started paying the bills. That's fact number one. You're not addressing the main fact here. You're an attorney. You cannot bring unverified, salacious rumors from Russia put together by a foreign national and use it as the Grassley Graham memo says, the bulk of information to obtain a warrant. You know that's lying and misleading a court, and I know it's lying and misleading a court. Why would you defend that?
I'm not defending it. I don't believe that they misled the court. I believe that they said it was political opposition research and that they told the judge that the judge did not take it or leave it.
It may have
this
a No, that's not true. Well, wait a minute. But all right, as a matter of FISA law, James Comey said on his book tour, just in his George Stephanopoulos interview, he actually made the statement that, I don't know, anything's possible. It could be true. They never verified it. How do
honestly,
you present
never
information?
These words would come out of my mouth, but I don't know whether the current president of the United States was with prostitutes peeing on each other in Moscow in 2013. It's possible, but I don't know.
How could he not know the truth, but it was used to obtain a warrant?
It was used on the basis of many other things, including...
No, not many other... The bulk of information. You're not being accurate here.
And Carter Page. Carter Page was also very problematic. He had been watched by the FBI.
That's not the point. The bulk of information to obtain the warrant was the phony Clinton bought and paid for foreign national Russian dossier.
The Republicans in Congress say it was the bulk, and the Democrats in Congress say that it was part of an entire collection of information and that it verified everything else. So my position is still, I don't believe the court was lied to, because I do agree with you that lying to a court is absolutely unacceptable. But we had Papadopoulos, we had Carter Page. There was reason to to believe that there were problematic connections.
And I guess you'll probably even say that when Hillary deleted 33,000 emails, acid washed her hard drive, had an associate beat up her BlackBerries with a hammer, I guess you're going to tell me that's not obstruction of justice, too.
I don't believe that that was. I believe that was extremely problematic behavior. I do believe
I didn't
that.
Ask if it was you problematic. Can. Is that obstruction of justice? If I did that, can I go to jail?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
And that's the whole point, Jonathan Gillum, that there are two. We now have a dual justice system in this country. That is the biggest problem in all of this.
Yeah, there's a lot of problems in this, Sean. And first off, let me just say that Laura Loomer and James O'Keefe, and the people that go and do these things like Laura Loomer did, they have to realize that they need to get organized like the left. If they're going to show up somewhere like that with one voice like they did at the play, it doesn't do any good. They need to show up with 20, 30 people so when she's gone, the next person does it. That's what the left does. They need to use their tactics. That's the first thing. Second thing, it's interesting because, you know, when Danielle and I come on here every week, we have a very similar conversation. And what it typically boils down to is it's dangerous to make assumptions that anything that these individuals at the higher levels of the FBI and the DOJ and even the FISA judge, at this point, it's more difficult to make an assumption that what they did was correct or what they did was in the best interest of the people, because the totality of the circumstances, when you look at McCabe and Strzok and Page, Comey and Mueller, Rosenstein, when you look at their actions, there's too many holes in it. And from an investigator standpoint, if there's one lie or somebody's trying to minimize something, you get that. It typically happens. But when you look at the story that they present on why they did this and how the dossier was used and how it was produced and how it went to the FISA court, John, there's just too many holes. And where that exists from an investigative standpoint,
You know what's frustrating to me is that at some point we've got to recognize here that civil liberties are in jeopardy. At some point, we've got to realize this is not equal justice under the law. At some point, we've got to understand that the actions taken, you know my love of law enforcement, not by rank and file, FBI, Secret Service, intelligence people, but with the people that had the power at the highest echelon. At some point, we've got to realize here, they didn't prosecute Hillary because she was Hillary, and they wanted Hillary in the race, and they never did a real investigation, which is why they wrote an exoneration in May, and then Peter Strzok, who hates Trump, ended up interviewing Hillary in July, and then they exonerated her. They hadn't interviewed 17 other people. And then you got to get to the whole dossier issue. Everyone all worked up for over a year, however long, about Russia-Trump collusion. Well, it turns out Hillary paid for Russian lies to manipulate the American people. And then the FISA warrant is just so beyond the pale. You know, it drives me nuts, Danielle. Where is the civil libertarian in you that says enough is enough? This crosses too many lines. We will not have a United States of America, rule of law, constitutional republic, if this keeps happening.
I see your point, and I am a civil libertarian as well. I think a really helpful way to reflect on Clinton's decision not to prosecute is to think about General Petraeus. So remember, Comey's a Republican, and the FBI is basically headed by Republicans right now. General Petraeus, who, as we know, mishandled classified information, he could have been charged with a felony under the Espionage Act. But instead, the Department of Justice decided to prosecute him, and he actually plead guilty to a misdemeanor mishandling.
Okay, apparently what the information, though, was in that case, if we're going to be fully transparent with our audience here, it was nothing serious. It had nothing to do with anything. We now know that probably we know five, at least six or five foreign intelligence agencies hacked into Hillary's server. That means they got secret, classified, top secret, special access programming information. If I had to guess, it was Russia, it was China, it was North Korea, it was Iran, and then God only knows who else.
Speculating because you don't know. Petraeus had handbooks and handbooks of classified information, which he'd taken home, he'd put in a desk drawer.
That's correct. And apparently he shared the calendar, his calendar, on somebody that was writing a book about him.
Yes, Paula Broadwell. He shared those. He shared that information with Paula Broadwell. And my point is, I understand the concerns about civil liberties, and I believe that we should be equal under the law. But there's something called prosecutorial discretion. That's what Petraeus got, a hero of the right, and that's what Clinton got, a hero of the left. So I know that there's a sense that
you know what
set of rules for one and not
you know
the other.
What?
There's a great example where they were treated.
They never held Hillary accountable for what she did at all. And you know what even is even worse is what they did to the FISA court. You know what? We need FISA. I've always believed in it. I'm not sure we can live with it anymore. If we're going to now be spying on American citizens using the powerful tools of intelligence that we need in an evil and dangerous world, you know, I don't know, Jonathan Gillum. I literally fear for people's privacy at this point.
Well, yeah, of course you should, because you just had yours violated in the last week.
Not even talking about that part, but yeah, I wasn't even thinking about me. But a good point.
Yeah, you're in there too, Sean. You're in there too.
But listen, when you look at what Danielle just said about Petraeus, I'm glad you brought up Petraeus, because you say that Petraeus was a hero of the right. Petraeus, in my book, is a lowlife, and Petraeus should have gone to jail, because anybody that's a regular rank and file veteran, active duty, would have gone to jail for what he did for a long time. Petraeus was an insult to the uniform and should have gone to jail. But he's a perfect example of how these establishment elites in Washington, D.C. function. Petraeus does their dirty work. Petraeus would scratch their back if they needed it. It doesn't matter if it's the left or right. That's the way they work. And that's the way it's working with Comey and the rest of these individuals. It's just that they were dedicated to Hillary Clinton because they are dedicated to whoever is going to push their agenda forward. These SESers, these senior executive service members, I have had several of them write me because I've been critical, and they're thanking me for that because they feel as though their reputations are ruined because of these criminals that are politically connected, and that's how they got into the positions that they are. They're politically connected. And there's a whole group of SESers that do God's work every day along with the rest of the agents that are on the ground. But these individuals that get into these positions are politically connected, and that's how
they... By the way, you know, Jonathan, you know who's most angry that I know about all of this? My FBI friends, people in the intelligence community I know. They're the angriest. And I explained to them, I said, look, you do know that most people know that these are individuals at the top. Nobody thinks it's rank and file, because it's not rank and file. All right, stay right there. We'll take a break. We'll come back. All right, as we continue with Jonathan Gillum and Danielle McLaughlin, what do you make? We have all the criminal referrals that were made yesterday. I won't list them now, but the inspector general has now referred his findings to the U.S. attorney to consider for criminal charges here. I think this is probably the first of a number of shoes that are going to drop. The laws were laid out clearly yesterday in the referral by these congressmen. What is your take on it, Danielle?
Well, there's a lot. I mean, I think there are 13 referrals, right? So it's a lot to go through in a relatively short segment. I know there's a lot of concern about Clinton using a law firm for the opposition research and arguments about obscuring that. I believe under election law, it's okay to not detail what law firms have done. And frankly, a lot of people use law firms because then the law firm product is attorney-client privilege. So it's not so much out of the pale. I understand there are concerns with the Comey memoranda, and I share a concern with that as well. There were 7 memoranda, as I understand it. 4 contained classified information, but apparently he gave 4 to his professor friend, meaning that 1 may have contained classified information. And if indeed that's the case, then we need to look into that and we need to investigate it.
What does it mean, Jonathan? You spent all of these years in law enforcement, and you know, you were in the FBI. You know, this is the former, you know, a lot of people, I mean, I could sit here and say how wrong the media has been for a year and a half with their, you know, chasing this ridiculous Trump-Russia collusion story and how it's expanded into areas it never should have expanded to. I don't take any joy in being right that there are high-ranking people that are involved in all of this. None. I don't take any joy in it.
I actually do, and I'll tell you why. Because as a warrior and as an investigator, I want to see the enemy conquer. And nothing pleases me more than when the enemy exposes themselves over and over to a point where if this IG is legit, all he's got to do is go back 2 years when this whole he doesn't have to look at the dossier, and that's good that he has it, but all you got to do is go back and look at how the whole system worked during the election process and follow it backwards, you're going to see who all is connected. He can literally start from this judge that did this stuff this last week concerning Cohen and you and everybody and go backwards. All the players are all in place, and they've all exposed themselves. And as far as Comey and these individuals being having charges brought up, this IG and the president must ensure that this happens. Do not lay a timeline down and say, we're going to wrap this up in a year. That's not the way investigations work. Let the investigation play out. I don't care if it takes 5 years. Let it play out and lock these people up, charge them with treason if you have to. Do whatever you have to do to clean up this SES program and this deep state. But if you put a timeline on it, you're not going to have a full investigation. Comey proved that in the way that he handled the Hillary Clinton investigation, which wasn't botched. It was
all right, I got to roll.
Mishandled on purpose.
Linda's yelling in my ear.
I'm sorry.
Why she's screaming at me? And why don't you yell at Jonathan? You're BFF.
Jonathan, stop talking. Time.
800-941-SHAWN, toll-free telephone number. We'll have more on this criminal referral. And now this new news about the IG has been criminally referred McCabe to the U.S. Attorney of D.C. 800-941-SHAWN, our number. All right, 25 now till the top of the hour. 800-941-SHAWN, if you want to be a part of the program. Another criminal referral today on top of the referrals we told you about all day yesterday. And this one, the Justice Inspector General, not coming from Congress this time, making a criminal referral for the former Deputy Director of the FBI, Andrew McCabe, directly to the U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia. Unbelievable. This, and I'm telling you, get ready. Hold on to your seats. This is going to be a very, very up and down, bumpy, bumpy ride. All right, let's get to our busy phones here as we... Oh, you know one other thing, Linda? Did you see what happened with our friend Terrence Williams on Twitter?
I did not.
All right, Facebook, it's sort of like Diamond and Silk all over again. Facebook suspended, and Terrence is a comedian. I mean, he's funny. He does those videos. It drives you just absolutely hysterical, a lot of them. Anyway, he was literally suspended from Facebook. And the reason he was suspended is because he was posting screenshots of the hate mail that he received from liberals. Now, they have since restored his, his position on Facebook. But I can't believe that they're doing that.
I don't know why you're surprised. I mean, anytime
I know that,
you know, we don't have a George Carlin of today. We don't have that anymore. You're not allowed to make jokes. Everybody takes themselves very seriously. Everyone is very, very easily offended. You look at someone the wrong way because you were pulling, you know, an eyelash out of your eye and they think you gave them the stink eye, and suddenly you're, you know, on reprimand and given time off, and you have to be put away until you're, you know how to behave in public. It's absolutely ridiculous.
It really is. It's pretty unbelievable.
I'm looking forward to a time when we can easily offend one another again and just laugh at it all. Stereotypes exist for a reason.
Excuse me, let's be honest here. You offend me every single day.
With pleasure.
Who is the most politically incorrect person? Let's have a vote. We'll start with Sunshine, even though she's biased in your favor. On our team, who is the most politically incorrect by a mile?
Should we put a poll on the website? Is that more fair? Because,
no,
I mean, our team might be biased.
No, because that you don't do this publicly. You do it just behind closed doors with us.
I think most people would say I do it publicly, actually.
Well, you do some publicly, but if they only knew the real, if you unplugged is a lot different. It's even worse.
Well, we have an FCC violation issue here, so I can't unplug as much as I'd like
now,
to.
Now, you know what's amazing is nobody puts up their hands because they all are afraid of the wrath of Linda.
That's not true.
That's so true.
It's not true.
You remember our caller from last week who said Linda is an angel and should be treated like
there
one?
You go. Okay.
Take his advice. I think his name was Marshall.
Who is the most politically incorrect person on our team, Sunshine?
Mm-hmm. I think it's a tie.
What, between you and her? Not even close. Ethan, not even close. Even though Jason, I think if we really dug deep and did a deep dive into Jason, we'd probably...
You don't want to wade in those waters.
Think of the conversations at Coyote Ugly.
We'd start there. And you, Mr., you know, altar boy back there.
Yeah.
Okay. You laugh at everything she says. Everything.
I laugh at everything you say,
first
too.
First of all, do not
first
get
of
it
all,
twisted.
Nothing.
Everyone laughs at what I say because I'm
laughs.
Funny.
I'm not denying that you're not funny.
You get
you're
a good
funny.
Chuckle at least 3 to 4 times an hour. So I don't want to hear you know.
I just thought of something else. I have an update on Marley, my dog.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to be an auntie?
Mm-hmm. Well, if it took, I mean, I don't know if it's good. I don't know if it worked, but it definitely happened.
When do we find out?
I don't know. I got to ask Connie over at Majestic Manors in Indiana. I had to send my, I'm missing my dog. So she wrote me last night and said she was watching the TV show and Marley was asleep. And as soon as my voice came on, Marley literally woke up, walked over and started staring at the TV.
That should be your video of the night.
I don't know. I don't know what the dog getting pregnant or the dog.
No,
looking...
the dog reacting to you being on air. Gosh.
Treat. You know who used to do that? Treat at night. When, yeah, when I'd put your TV show on at night, she'd perk up and
she's like
and look
sniffing
over.
The TV. Like what? You know what? What? Where is he?
I'm sure they recognize your voice.
Except Treat used to jump at the TV because it was like, oh, this is the guy that used to make me jump.
Treat the guide dog that Miss Honesty, Linda said, oh, never going to pass. No way. And then when I'd ask her in front of Sunshine, oh, absolutely, she's going to pass.
No, I always said that that dog would pass.
All right, now you're lying. Just stop.
I'm not lying. I am not like McCabe and Comey. I don't lie.
Ooh.
I tell the truth.
941 Sean. You know what? I get the best comments that I get from people now. They're both the same. Hannity, you got to keep up the fight. And the next thing is, I hope you're not in trouble for doing all this. I mean, can you imagine in the United States of America, because you stated an opinion and you break stories that about of a deep state being so corrupt and Hillary Clinton getting a pass that people would say, oh, geez, I hope you're OK.
I also think it's interesting that just posing a question is now becoming, you know, this
that too.
This is like a crime to ask a question. And you know what? People have selective memories because there's plenty of evidence of the questions being asked previously.
Everyone thinks we, I don't know if people think we're just on the air 3 hours a day, and that's the extent of the work we put in for this show, but apparently, maybe that's the way the rest of the media does it, because we're running circles around them in terms of breaking stories.
Well, no, they all have their morning meeting, they get their talking points and their collective efforts, and then they all go on the air and say the same thing.
All right, let's go to Susan in Livingston, Tennessee. Susan, how are you? Glad you called.
Hello, Mr. Hannity.
Hello, Susan. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. You're calling me Mr., which means you think I'm very old.
No, we're close in age, but I just have
you
to
can
be,
call
you
me
know,
Sean as fine as.
Hi,
so what's
Sean.
On your mind today?
Well, I wanted to tell you that I really appreciate you and your show. I didn't really understand how corrupt and crazy our government has gotten and out of control it's gotten. I just hope that something comes of it, because I just think that, you know, American people should have the same laws as the government, and the government should have the same laws as us. I'd be in jail if I did half the things Hillary and, you know, everybody else did. So,
well, look, here's the bottom line, and I think it's important that we have. We actually had a discussion here off air earlier, and I said to them, I don't take joy that all of these people are getting these criminal referrals. The only thing that's good about it is I want our government to be, I don't want what has happened to ever happen again. It can't. We can't be a democratic republic and have the powerful tools of intelligence being used against the American people based on a politician using foreign nationals and Russian lies and presenting it before the FISA court as if it's real information. You know, nor can we have Americans that are charged all the time with obstructing justice, but they didn't delete or subpoenaed emails and bust up their devices and acid wash their hard drive. And I just think the whole thing is sad, but it has to be done. Anyway, Linda's like, no, this is about justice. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying I'm doing a happy dance because I'm happy that they're going to get in trouble or whatever, but I am 100% doing a happy dance, a jig, up and down, you know, acrobatics, whatever you want to call it, because we're being proved right. I'm not going to lie about that. I am.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. If we weren't right,
they would be dancing all over us.
Oh, are you kidding? I mean, it's the same thing with the election. You know, the media never said, wow, Hannity was one of the few people that saw this coming. Then I don't expect and I don't want and I don't even care about any of that. It's not about who's right. I want what's right for the country. You know, when I talked about the forgotten men and women every day during the election year, I meant it. It matters. To see the economy coming back matters. You know, peace and safety and security and the possibility of a denuclearized Korean Peninsula is a good thing. Getting out of the Iran deal is a good thing. Certainly forging new relationships with China and China, you know, no trade war. China basically gave in on all our demands. That's a good thing. You know, I just want good things to happen. And it's like for the media to be right, Donald Trump has to do a horrible job as president. In spite of all of this, everything is working out as it relates to foreign policy and the economy and everything that really matters for, in people's lives. All right, let's go to our phones. Alan is in Charlottesville, Virginia. Hey, Alan, how are you? Glad you called, sir.
Yes, sir, Mr. Hannity. I'm glad to talk to you. Listen to your show every day. I love it.
Oh, thank you.
I'll get right to the I'll get right to the point. I told you, call screener, that I am law enforcement, been in many years. And just watching the interviews and the Comey situation, I'm sure people are looking at this, but, you know, I don't know. It's no big surprise that, you know, he is a liar. But he is so good at it. He's been doing it for a long time. But there are subtle things that he does when he sets an interview. With his eye movements, his facial expressions, he's looking around so many different directions, looking for the words to make up a story or try to convolute it. And it looks to me, based on my experience of interviewing suspects and over the years, that that's what most liars do. They can't keep their story straight, and eventually he's going to slip up because he can't. There's no way he can, unless he writes all these things down, because he's flying off the cuff. Looks like to me. And it may be a small thing, but it just seems to me that I hope somebody picks up on that. Maybe they are, but I'm not sure what you can do about it.
Well, listen, we know that he's told a number of lies here. You know, I've never leaked. Okay, we know he leaked, and the problem now is we now know he leaked some classified information, also privileged information, and it goes on from there. I do think, you know, I meant it when I actually said it when. When he came out and it was announced he's doing this book, I said from the beginning, this is a bad idea. I said, I don't know who his lawyer is, but his lawyer's nuts to let him not only do a book, but then do a book tour. And I predicted the day that Comey was out that he's going to be a contributor on MSNBC and there's going to be a miniseries and he's going to be in Hollywood and he's going to suck up to the left. Well, that hasn't even really panned out the way he wanted, because a lot of liberals are livid and apoplectic at his actions. And I think now I like Newt's line when he said he's shrinking every day with every interview. And I think people are beginning to see that which the president saw early and I have seen now for a long time and many others. Anyway, good call, Alan. We do appreciate it. 800-941-SHAWN is our toll-free telephone number. Let's go to Don in Franklin, Virginia also. How are you in Virginia? What's happening, Don?
Hey, really have enjoyed listening to you, and I want to say that Kellyanne is right, and I think the news is really keeping the main out of sight, and that's a big factor. But the reason I call is, you know, I've been listening to you and Rush and everybody, and I feel like you're missing one point, and that it's a bigger game. It's like a chess game, and we need to get in that game. When we hear about the collusion, we hear about Stormy and all that's going on, it's to get us off target and not focusing on staying the course and doing the things that Trump promised in the beginning. In reality, you know, Trump, Pence, Ryan, maybe they're just pawns in that bigger game, and the real win in the King's Court is the presidency, it's the Senate, it's the Congress, and they're moving their pawns, and they're willing to sacrifice players. Comey, Mueller, it doesn't matter. They'll use them, but that's not the bigger game. And I think we need to begin to play chess a little bit better. We need to go on the offense instead of always being on the defense.
Here's the problem, that there are good conservative Republicans. Most of them are in the Freedom Caucus. But then you have a whole bunch of establishment Republicans that, frankly, there's not a whole lot of real distinction or difference between them and the Democratic Party. It's just a fact. Also, as I mentioned earlier today, Democrats hide who they really are all the time, what their real agenda is from the American people. They do that as a matter of course. I mean, you have a Democratic donor club plotting the future of the liberal movement in Washington. You know, it includes reparations and, you know, universal health care, free college, on and on. That is who liberals are. So I think at the end of the day, we need a revitalized, as Reagan once said, second party. And they have the opportunity of a lifetime, because what the president's advocating for is conservatism. All this talk about him being a populist, nationalist, it's not so. I always knew on trade, I know Mark was really worried about, Mark Levin, about the president, trade policy, trade wars, not a good idea, free and open trade. But I always sensed and knew that the president was just negotiating. And I think we saw that play out really well in China and all these other countries now that we're supposedly going to have a trade war with. They're all going to the table and they're all going to negotiate a better deal that's freer and fairer trade for America. So that I think that in the end is a really good thing. And I just think that the Republicans don't have the universal thought that you're looking for where they could organize and be who you want them to be. And unfortunately, for a lot of people, come November, it is a vote between the lesser of two evils. And the bottom line, and it will be a factor in November, if you give the House back to Nancy Pelosi, she's going to want to impeach this president. She'll work to impeach the president. And I think her party will force her to push impeachment. So that's a big thing that the country needs to contemplate and factor in when we go vote next November, this November. Tonight, 9 Eastern on the Fox News Channel. I mean, we are loaded up. You don't want to miss it. We've got Alan Dershowitz, Greg Jarrett, Jeanine Pirro, Sarah Carter, David Schoen, Mark Levin, the great one, Kellyanne Conway, and Sebastian Gorka. On top of that, we've got so many breaking news stories. McCabe criminally referred today. Giuliani is now part of the Trump defense team. The Justice Department is going to send the Comey memos to Congress. And on top of all of that news, well, we even have more news that Rod Rosenstein told Trump he's not a target in the Mueller probe. Unbelievable. It's all coming up tonight, 9 Eastern, on the Fox News Channel.